We live in a culture that doesn't really understand the power, the strength of rest and why God gave us rest. It's actually a gift that we should be utilizing in our lives.
The inability to say no isn't a sign of strength, it's a sign of weakness. So if you cannot have a structure or control over how much you desire to get done or achieve or work, that can become an idol in your life.
I think we have way more time than we think, but a lot less energy than we think.
80% of Americans say they're Christian. Only 40% of Americans go to church regularly. Now it even gets worse. 40% of Americans say they're in church on Sundays, but only 25% of Americans actually are. So we think we're going regularly, but many people, they look really closely at their schedule and realize, oh man, I'm missing more than I'm going.
Yes.
So are you actually getting up and going to church?
There's something powerful about being in the presence of God and also in the presence of other believers worshiping with you.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we live in a culture that doesn't really understand the power, the strength of rest and why God gave us rest. It's actually a gift that we should be utilizing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think something that we see a lot of today is this idea of what we like to call hustle culture. Mm-hmm. We see it all over the place. Hustle culture, grind culture. This I'll sleep when I'm dead mentality. Look at all I got done today. And maybe things are crumbling at home. Mm. Or maybe things aren't going so well. Maybe you're getting a lot of things done and you're productive in one area, but you're almost so productive in one area, it's actually harming you in another area.
That's good.
And so I think a lot of people are struggling with this, but I just want to remind somebody who maybe you do have that mentality. The inability to say no isn't a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So if you cannot have a structure or control over how much you desire to get done or achieve or work, that can become an idol in your life.
Yeah.
And so being able to control yourself, have the proper temperament when it comes to grinding. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is you have to know when to rest and when to turn it off.
That's good. You know, another thing about that that I want to mention too is that so many young people think when they hear leaders talk about saying no, that that means, yeah, I should, you know, tell my boss, no, I can't do that. Well, that's great. We'll lose your job or to not be promoted. So be careful that you're not getting the instruction from someone who's in complete control of their time. So there's things that you just can't say no to because you're working for someone else. But the answer to that is to discipline your no's with what you can control, like your time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so if you don't learn to say no to too much, you know, Netflix or streaming social media or whatever you're into, then you're going to be like, oh, I need to say no at work. Well, that's the wrong place to do it. That's going to limit your career. So you can control, yes, have some no's, but there's going to be areas that you can't.
Yeah.
And so you got to balance that.
Yeah. I think we have way more time than we think, but a lot less energy than we think. And so usually you'll be able to find the time by just going through your screen time or realizing you've been watching a sports game for 2 hours or whatever the case is, right? You have the time, but you probably don't have the energy. And so that's why I think protecting your yes is a big deal, because would you rather give your yes to your family? Would you rather give your yes to your church? Would you rather give your yes to relationships that you need to strengthen? Or are you going to give your yes to a distraction? Because we like to think about rest like, oh man, I just need some me time. And the reality is, when you're distracted, that doesn't mean that you're rested.
Yeah.
And so whenever we're falling into these distractions, these dopamine fixes, all these things that kind of just get our minds off the everyday life that we're in, that's not leading to spiritual rest.
That's good. That's good. So let's talk about that then. Spiritual rest. Let's go to the word. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 2. It says, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So a couple things there. First of all, it repeats it. So when the Bible repeats something, that's the Hebrew or Greek version of an exclamation point. So it said repeatedly that he, from all his rest, from all his work he rested. It was a holy day. Holy means set apart. So if your Sunday doesn't look any different than your Monday, then you're probably not really resting.
Mm.
It should be set apart, should be different. You know,
absolutely.
Obviously there's a worship component to that, going to church, all that is part of God's word. I could spend all day on that, we won't, but the people who say, oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, I'm like, well, to not be a functioning Christian, you know, then you don't have to go to church. But if you want to be a functioning Christian, the Bible says to be in God's house. But that also means that the rest of your day should be set apart too. So, you know, I actually used to make it a habit, like, don't mow the lawn on Sundays, don't clean the house on Sundays, like on purpose. It was like, this is a day of true rest. Now, again, as a pastor, we're all pastors here. I'm working like crazy on Sunday, but for me, that would be a Friday or a Saturday, whichever day I choose to be. But that's important that you have a day that you really don't do anything. Don't just say you're not doing it and then do all these chores.
Yeah.
Really have a day of rest.
And I think what plays into the Sabbath is your busyness from the days up to the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're doing all these things outside of your 9 to 5 or outside of your regular responsibilities, like after work or after your primary, whatever it is that you're doing in life, then all that's going to happen is all of your house tasks are going to stack up to fall onto your Sabbath, or all of your whatever asks start stacking up, you know, kids sports or whatever. Now that has consumed the Sabbath too. So I think you don't only have to protect the Sabbath, but you kind of have to proactively protect that, because then everything's just going to get stockpiled onto your Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I literally have to do this. I literally have to pay these bills. I have to mow my yard. I have to do this. And so protecting your Sabbath isn't just protecting one day. Mm-hmm. It's protecting the other days as well.
That's good.
That's not to say that if you're wanting to get ahead in life, that you should just be rigid and firm and have these boundaries and yada, yada, yada. There's a middle ground between all of that. But for the most part, eliminating getting stretched too thin is going to be a good deal in terms of getting that full day of rest without having to like sacrifice and drop a lot of balls that otherwise, you know, wouldn't be able to be picked up.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So what do you do for the Sabbath, Mace?
The Sabbath needs to be protected at all costs. Mm-hmm. God himself rested after creating. But we have to remember that for us, rest is the Sabbath, I should say, is the beginning of the week. In the creation story, he rested at the end.
It's at the end of the week. Yeah.
But for human beings, mm-hmm. it's the beginning.
Yeah,
because for
Jesus,
us,
we moved it because of Jesus.
By the way.
People always ask that question, why shouldn't we become a church on Saturday and not Sunday?
Yep.
But we moved it because Christ rose again
on a Sunday.
That's right. That's why it got moved. Yeah.
Yes. So Sunday is the reason we as believers gather as a church, right? We gather on Sundays because Christ rose again on a Sunday. But it has to be protected, because for us, the Sabbath is the beginning of the week. If your mindset is the Sabbath is the end of your week, well, that has a lot of implications. You're implying that Jesus gets the end of me, the worn out version of mm-hmm. me, the tired and exhausted version of me, because it's the end of my week. But we know that God wants us to not give him the last 10%, but the first 10%. Mm-hmm. Whenever we bring in the tithe, whenever we give ourselves to Jesus, we don't give him a fraction of ourselves. Yeah. We give our whole selves, right?
You're essentially tithing your week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're starting your week with God's truth, resting and communing with him. The Sabbath itself, being a part of the church, is in essence, it is restful. And so you have to protect it no matter what. And so that means sometimes going to sleep earlier on Saturday, that mm-hmm. way you can be well rested for your Sabbath on Sunday.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So, you know, I think about too, this is kind of cool. So why do we move it from Saturday to Sunday? Well, because Christ rose again, right? That the whole premise and preface and build up in the entire Old Testament is for what? Every Old Testament story is what? A picture of what? It's of Christ,
Christ.
Right? In the resurrection that he saves us.
Mm-hmm.
So moving it to the first day, I love this, means that what is Sunday? It's resurrection day.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. You're starting your week with Christ rose again. Mm-hmm. So if he rose again, there's nothing I can't face. The power of God is within me. So let me remember when we begin my week with Christ rose again. Now, whatever Monday has, I'm good because Christ rose again.
That's great.
Isn't that cool? Like it sets your week.
Absolutely.
You have that kind of remembrance of victory that you have. And now let me face my week.
It's a lot easier said than done. And like, I think we should be aware of that, because we can teach on rest and all these things. But, you know, when you have life coming at you in every single direction, I mean, man, I remember when I was just first got married, then I was like, oh man, this is a whole new level of responsibility. And then you have a kid and you're like, oh, it's a whole another level of responsibility. And then it probably happens again and again and again. And there is some reality that's like, it's okay to, I don't want to say it's okay to feel overwhelmed, but it's very natural and very normal,
it's very normal
to hit these walls where you feel like you need more and more rest because you are going to have more and more responsibility that comes your way.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you develop, not just in life, but in your walk with Christ, and you're taking more obedient steps, there is going to be stress that comes along with that. You know, when you give away 10% of your income, there's stress that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Whenever you serve for an extra hour, you know, there's stress that comes along with that, because now you have less time for something else. So there's always going to be part of you that feels like you're a little stressed. That's not something to shy away from and give God your no.
Yeah.
That's just something to kind of embrace and understand that as you progress not only in your family, but your walk with Christ,
yeah.
that a lot of your me time starts going to other people, mm-hmm. and that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
So how is that rest going, Cole? How are you feeling now that your baby is how old now?
Yeah, she's about 6 weeks old.
Yeah, so. How's that rest going?
It's good. Everyone was telling me get all the sleep I could, and I was kind of like, yeah. You know, I just thought it was something that I would say in passing, but it's definitely a real thing. We're getting as much sleep as we can, and we're figuring it out.
Yeah.
And it's still the funniest thing ever to people, especially the older you are in the church, the funnier it is.
Yes, that's right.
They're like, you're getting any sleep?
All the old guys are laughing because we remember.
Like, you're in pain. Yes. It's funny. No,
but you know what's funny? Because you don't know how selfish you are until you have a baby. And then you're like, oh my goodness, my whole life is now about this child, right? Yeah. It's really true.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I want to point something out about the scripture too. I love this, that if you read all the other days, at day 1 through 6, right? God is creating. And every day he'd look back and he'd say, it is good. I think Sunday for me helps me have a moment. And I still do this even though I am tired on Sundays because it's very much a work day for me, right?
Yeah.
But I still have time after church to stop and just and really think. Sometimes I get a nap because I'm really tired. Sometimes I'll stay up. Just depends. Yeah. But there is a moment where I stop and say, am I good?
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge part of a Sabbath. It should be a moment where you're like, first of all, you say, God, are we good?
Yeah.
Right? Like, are we good? And then, am I good? And so I would ask the viewer right now, the listener right now, like, are you good? Mm-hmm. And if you're not good, could there be a direct correlation between the fact that you've not stopped and pondered life? When are you going to do that if you don't have a resting point?
Yeah.
So I think there's a stopping point where you look and say, am I good?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think another thing that's interesting is that when you look at the Pharisees and Jesus, when they're bumping heads, a lot of times it's when the Pharisees are saying to Jesus, why are you working on the Sabbath?
Yeah.
Right.
When Jesus does a miracle on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And they're missing the point because they're mad that he is doing something that's quote unquote exhausting himself. When first of all, a miracle to God isn't exhausting.
Right.
But second of all, they're missing the point that the Sabbath isn't just about rest. It's about healing. Because rest brings healing and longevity.
Yeah.
So Jesus was saying, no. The Sabbath is more than just about not doing anything.
Yeah.
The Sabbath is about the healing that I give you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sabbath is a picture to us of rest, but it is restorative and a healing kind of rest.
That's good.
So the Pharisees were completely missing the point. They thought it meant you need to sit at home and do nothing. You come to the temple and you go home and you do nothing. You don't do any type of work.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wants us to see the Sabbath is not strictly about legalism and doing nothing with your day.
Right.
It's about a healing that takes place on that day.
Okay, so this is
the point of the Sabbath.
I have to say this. This is so cool. Forgive me for interrupting, but I got to bring this up. You were the one that told me this the other day when I was doing a sermon and we were doing a little pre-critique where we kind of go over the message with my team and you're in that group. And it was so cool. You said, Dad, when Luke said, when Luke recorded a different word for healing than all the other disciples, because Luke was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So he used the word for healing. Jesus would always say at the end of when he healed someone, he would say, get up.
Rise again.
That word means resurrect. So really, when God's bringing healing to you, it's in that restful moment, that day, he's healing your wounds. He's bringing you that rest, that Sabbath. And then what do? You get up for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So you're going to increase your get up, basically, your resurrection ability by taking that rest.
Yeah. And you're going to have rhythms of rest as well. I mean, you want to find a time every day to rest. You want to find a time every week to rest, every month, every year. Like thinking about it in those terms, that's a complete picture of rest rather than, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of time every day. Like it's good to take some time off, you know, from work or for whatever you're doing. It's good to take a day away with your spouse or whatever the case is and go truly rest. Because we talked about distraction. We talked about what the world thinks that rest is. And when you give your rest away, essentially, then you're trying to pour out of a cup that has nothing in it, right? And we use that analogy all the time. You cannot pour out if you're not filled up yourself.
Yeah.
And so what the Holy Spirit does is he fills up your cup so then you can pour that out onto other people. And there's levels to that. You know, with you as a senior pastor, you're going to have to pour out a lot more than somebody who isn't in that situation, especially spiritually. And we all know this, you know, the Sunday holy hangover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that you can have a really hard day during the week. But then on Sunday, it seems like all you're doing is connecting with people and talking to people and building relationships. And isn't it funny that you're way more tired on a Sunday?
Oh, man.
It's because you're pouring out relationally. You're pouring out emotionally. You're pouring out spiritually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is so much more draining than even the longest day that we have in the office or at work. And so that's why it's so important to be filled by the Holy Spirit. One, so that you know what you're talking about spiritually you're in your word.
Yeah.
But two, because if you don't have that, then how are you going to make an impact in other people's lives? How are you going to fulfill the second greatest commandment that God gives us if we don't have that relationship with Him ourselves?
Absolutely.
You know,
I just think rest, if you think about it, really is a way for you to steward your own soul.
That's good.
And if you can't steward your own soul, how the heck, as a man, are you going to be able to steward a family?
Yeah.
Or as a woman, are you going to be able to steward a family, right? Mm-hmm. Let alone husbandhood, fatherhood, right? Being a wife, being a mother.
Yes.
Rest is a way for you to steward your own soul.
Absolutely.
So don't for a second feel guilty for doing something that is biblical.
Yeah.
It is highlighted to us. And here's the other thing. You are also demonstrating to your children the importance of biblical rest.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If we're not resting biblically as humans, unfortunately, we will find other ways to rest.
Yeah.
And they will not be healthy.
Right.
So I would rather model to my child what biblical rest looks like rather than other forms of rest that we see today. For some people, it's going out, music festivals, maybe it's drinking, maybe it's just unhealthy relationships, whatever. Humans get creative.
We're taking something.
Substances. Humans get creative with how we try to fill ourselves back up.
That's good.
So you want to model it to them the best that you possibly can. So there's nothing wrong with being a good steward of your own soul, and rest is just step one in doing that.
Really what you're talking about too, Mason, is escapism.
Yes.
You know, people are into escapism, and there's nothing wrong with having a healthy escape. But if you think about in scripture, Jesus,
a healthy escape,
Jesus, it seems like half the time they're like, where'd Jesus go? I don't know. He wandered off.
So good.
So he was always going like it said, right in the morning, he would get up as he usually did. It said, Mark said that like he normally did.
Yep.
He would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would go into the woods and he would just get alone and like, oh, all the crowd's on this side of the water. Then he'd go to the other side of the water. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, he's trying to get away. So he was always escaping to the Father.
So good.
That's where he escaped to.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's good too, because, you know, there's all these instances in the Bible as well where he would take the isolated time with the Father and he would say, you know, I need to be alone right now with the Lord. And when we think about our relationship with Christ and he comes first and foremost in our lives, you know, if somebody asked you, hey, can I tag along with your date with Jessica tonight? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, I think she really values the fact that it's just me and her.
Yeah.
And so even the second closest person in our lives, our spouse, our kids, our best friend, whoever it is, you still need to have that moment where you're alone in your walk with Christ.
Yeah.
There's no other focus besides him, because he wants to be glorified. He wants to be praised. He wants to be worshiped.
Yes.
He wants to hear from you, even if you're upset, if you're down, whatever it is. He wants personal time with you, not just you in community. Like, yes, that's a very, very important aspect.
Yeah.
We work for a church, so we know that.
Yeah.
But there is a balancing act that you have to go through every single day, which is perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
And that's something you have to fight for. The world is going to pull you every single direction that they can.
Yeah.
You have to fight for the things that are important to you, especially when you're staying focused, when you have values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the quote that says you don't know what your values are until you have to sacrifice for them.
Yeah.
Because anyone can say this is a value of mine until you actually have to sacrifice something.
And if you won't sacrifice, it's not a value.
Exactly.
You're
and so is Christ a value for you?
Mm-hmm.
Unless this happens on a Sunday, unless the playoffs are on, unless my kid has this, unless it's raining, just rained this past Sunday and our attendance is down.
Yeah.
Apparently, people don't go to church when it's raining.
Right.
I think you still go to work when it's raining.
Pretty sure you have to go to school.
Come on, guys. Yeah. Goodness. So are you like,
It's
so easy for us to get caught up in the worldly. Oh, I have to. My boss is making it's like, do we have more honor and respect for the obligations that are placed on us to make a living, or do we have more honor and respect for, you know, the living Lord? And so we have to understand that our values are going to cost us. We're going to have to sacrifice for them. And in the same time, we need to fight for that rest, because if we do more, we need to rest more. And the world says, work hard, play hard. And the word says, work hard, rest hard.
Yeah.
And so you have to protect that Sabbath, and you have to make sure that you're not expending all of your energy Even scrolling is expending energy. Even giving in to gossip or having a two-hour phone call with your best friend, whatever it is, expending that energy. You're only going to get the rest back that you need as a believer when you're in the presence of the Lord. And it says that in the scripture as well that I'll pull here. It had said, in Exodus 33:14, it says, "And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest."
That's good.
And so you can literally bring the presence of the Lord with you in all that you do, and he will give us rest.
He says, enter my rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's very, it's very intentional. It's like if I choose to walk into a room, that's like God's like, my presence is here. Will you enter it? Now think about this. So let's talk about best rest. Is that cool? Like best practices in rest. Okay. Well, the first one is we know that God wants us to go to his house. We know that obviously, but think about this. 80% of Americans say they're Christian. Only 40% of Americans go to church regularly. Now it even gets worse. 40% of Americans say they're in church on Sundays, but only 25% of Americans actually are. So are you actually getting up and going to church?
Absolutely.
And, you know, and this may be controversial, and I love online and I love digital and, and all that too, but if you're next to your church and you just watch online, what are you teaching your kids? So there is power in getting up. And I know there's some people who just aren't near their church that they feel very much called to be part of. I get it. So I'm not saying that online church is not real. It is. But, you know, is online church with your family going to really be the full impact of but not bringing your kids to youth group, but your kids not being in children's church? But, you know, so there's something about physically going. The Bible says it in Hebrews 10, do not neglect meeting together. So there's power in it. Yes, I know you still can meet online, but if you can get physically to your church, get your butt up and go to the building, to the room. There's something powerful about being in the presence of God and also in the presence of other believers worshiping with you.
And you feel
if
that.
If you had to choose between being present in the upper room or watching it through a live stream, which one would you choose?
Hands down.
You'd want to be present in the upper room. And so, I believe online church is a tool and it's a supplemental tool. Right? If your family's on vacation, you don't have a church to go to or whatever, or for whatever reason your car breaks down on Sunday night, you can't get to church, use that supplemental tool.
Or if you're shut in, we get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you're up north and there's just a crazy blizzard or something like that, you have to use it as a tool, then absolutely use it as a tool. However, don't try to use a screen to replace the church, the body of Christ. As we're all called to be active participants in it.
So can I have a question for you, Dad?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
So practically,
okay,
if there were three tips that he gives somebody that struggles with protecting their rest, what would you give them?
That's a great word. First of all, I would say make a decision as a family where you're going to go to church together. And then I would even say from, can I get real practical here?
This is to protect their rest?
Yes.
To decide where they're going to church?
Here's the, and not only that, once you decide that you're going to go to that church, then I would get involved. In other words, sign up to serve somewhere. You know why? Guess what? Now I'm like, oh, I got to go. Why? They're depending upon me. If I'm not there, who's going to serve the coffee? If I'm not there, who's going to greet? If I'm not there, who's going to work in the nursery? So believe it or not, you signing up to serve at your church, that helps you regulate your life. You're like, I got to be there. I committed to being there.
I'm all for what you're saying.
Does that make sense? Because
I'm
too
struggling
easy
to see the bridge to the rest here, though.
Because if you don't.
Because I love getting people to serve into church.
Think about this. You're part of entering your rest is going into God's house, right?
Okay.
So if I don't have anything making me go, like there's no obligation side to it, then it's easy to skip. So there's power in deciding as a family to where there's the social pressure that you're all getting up at the same hour, getting ready to go to church. And you're like, I'm going to wake up because my wife's already up getting ready. My kids are getting ready. So there's a social pressure, right? And the second social pressure is that we all have to go because we committed to serving together. So I think there's power in that.
And what would you say to somebody who already is serving? Like they already have a home church. They're already serving the church. They're still struggling protecting their outside of there in terms of rest. What would you advise them to do? Like, man, I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm so stressed. I feel like I have no time. I have no energy. How do I get my rest back in my life?
I would say a couple things. Number one, I would say make Saturday nights more of a priority to come in earlier. So I would say just not making big plans on Saturday night. Make big plans Friday night if you want. Sleep in Saturday because I understand people want that sleeping in. I get it. Or go to later service. But I think there is power to design your life around the Sabbath. I mean, you look at, you study the Old Testament. These people live their lives around the temple. You know, and by the way, how the temple was going and the activity in the temple told you how Israel was going. right? So are we centering our lives around God's house? Mm-hmm. Or are we asking God's house to center their activities around us?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it really creates the ability to realize that we, like, even think about this, even the earth that we think is the greatest planet of all time, right? We revolve around the sun. The sun does not revolve around us. Yeah. And so even God put in creation that it's really still not about you. Don't revolve everything around you.
Yeah.
So there's certain things God says, I want you to revolve your life around it. And that one of that is his house. Because it, why? Why is it? Because it's God's house. It's, so you're really revolving your life around God. So I think that's where the church comes into helping you create a Sabbath. Mm-hmm. It also sets the culture of your own family to say, we're about God. We're not about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a second part. The Bible actually says to prepare your tithe to where you're ready when you show up to give. And I'm not trying to make this about giving today. It's really not. But that sets a tone. How much of our lives on any given week is about making an income? I mean, think about your schedule is built around what? A job.
Yeah.
Even if you say, oh, I don't have a job. Well, then you're an entrepreneur and you do have a more stressful job.
That's a good word. I think that.
Does that make sense? So it creates the ability to say, even my resources are really about the Lord.
That's interesting. I think there's, 99.9% of people in the world, their schedules are built around their jobs. So how would you address somebody that, because sometimes a job can interfere with your church attendance. What would you tell somebody in that situation?
Change jobs without apology.
What about for somebody that's easier said than done? Let's say military.
I would say, military, XYZ. First of all, I don't think the military does require Sundays, but if they did, I think that we still have a culture that actually respects Sundays enough that they don't do that. But there are jobs that are just really designed poorly for this. I'm serious. I think that I would say, hey, if you're working for a car dealership, find one that's more balanced if you can. You can make plenty of money without being unbalancing your time. Now I want to be real clear here. I actually don't think 40 hours a week is all you have to work. I think you can do 50. I think you can push it, but I do think at some point you need to also back off. Like you said earlier, work hard, but then also play hard, you know, and rest hard also. Yeah. So I think there needs to be some hard lines. And that's what I like about the Sabbath. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Like I will work, you want to work me on Saturdays sometimes? I can do that, just not Sunday, right? You see what I'm saying? Like even if you say, well, I work in a 6-day work field, there's plenty of people to do, but you better really protect that seventh day then. So that's what I would say. I just think it creates a structure that's really important for your whole life.